This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. The U.S. State Department says Secretary of State Antony Blinken talked with Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed on Tuesday, stressing the need for all parties to commit to an independent and indefinite ceasefire in the northern Tigray region. The conflict in Tigray has killed thousands, displaced more than 2 million, and pushed hundreds of thousands to the brink of famine, with international pressure building on both sides to end hostilities. Blinken also called for Abiy to commit to steps outlined by the UN Security Council last week, according to the State Department. That includes the withdrawal of both Eritrean and Amhara forces from Tigray, humanitarian access, and the establishment of a process to hold those responsible for human rights abuses and atrocities accountable. The Ethiopian government declared a unilateral ceasefire last week after its troops pulled out of the Tigray capital of Mekele in what it called a strategic withdrawal. Tigray forces dismissed the truce as a joke, claiming it had driven the government out of the city. Nicaraguan police announced Tuesday the sixth arrest of a presidential contender and four other opposition figures, making it 26 people rounded up by long-term leader Daniel Ortega's forces ahead of November's elections. The five were arrested on Monday night on charges of threatening Nicaragua's quote-unquote sovereignty, like the 21 before them. The charges are based on a law initiated by Ortega and approved by Parliament in December, widely criticized as a means of freezing out challengers and silencing opponents ahead of elections in which he's widely expected to seek a fourth successive term. In raids that began June 2nd, security and paramilitary forces have arrested presidential contenders, among others. This is VOA News. Officials said Tuesday the death toll from a partially collapsed Miami area condo building rose by 4 to 32 as rescue workers brace for a tropical storm and relatives of a deceased family of four prepare for the disaster's first funeral. A total of 113 people remain missing 12 days after roughly half of the 12-story Champlain Tower South building came tumbling down early in the morning on June 24th. Workers still searching the mountain of debris face strong winds as Tropical Storm Elsa approaches from the south. Although forecasts predict the Surfside area should avoid the brunt of Elsa on its projected course north from Cuba, scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely and could hinder the search and rescue effort. Investigators have not determined what caused the 40-year-old complex to collapse. Miami-Dade's mayor cautions it could take some time to find the exact cause. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani apologized Tuesday over massive power outages during a heat wave that have drawn widespread criticism and triggered street protest. Officials have blamed the blackouts on surging demand for power, along with low rainfall cutting hydroelectric output and illegal cryptocurrency mining farms accessing subsidized electricity. Rouhani said in a remarks carried by state TV that people are right to complain. Angry residents gathered in several cities protesting the outages, which often did not follow blackout schedules announced by the state-run electricity companies, according to Iranian news outlets and postings on social media. Lebanon's prime minister warned Tuesday his country is a few days away from a social explosion, calling on the international community to save a country in deep economic trouble. The World Bank has called Lebanon's financial crisis one of the worst depressions of modern history. Its currency has lost more than 90% of its value, and more than half of the population has been forced into poverty. Anger over fuel shortages has led to fights at petrol stations, and the prime minister appears to be warning of more unrest. Lebanese politicians have been unable to agree on a new government since last year's catastrophic Beirut port explosion. And Israel agreed to a COVID vaccine swap with South Korea Tuesday, sending 700,000 doses of the Pfizer jab to Seoul, quote-unquote, immediately, in return for the same number in coming months. A statement from Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's office said the deal, the first of its kind for Israel, would allow for more effective use of the vaccine stocks of both countries. Israel received a huge supply of the Pfizer vaccine shortly after approval last year and had one of the world's fastest rollout, but also had raised concerns about unused stock expiring. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.